Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, May 13th, 2016. With me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
I'm good. I hope I survive Friday the 13th.
Well, I'll consult with my personal astrologer, Nightshade, who is a black cat, and she says you're going to be fine. Dave Hamilton, she says you'll be fine too.
Yeah, my personal black cat, my personal astrologer is our black cat Monk, and spelled M-U-N-K, just like it sounds, in case anybody was wondering. And he too says we're going to be fine. But just in case, I'm going to say that I'm here, but I'm not actually here.
Okay, that's safe. And I'm assuming that you have your tinfoil hat at the ready for just in case.
Yeah, I feel like it's not enough for Friday the 13th, though. But yes, I'm wearing it, and then some.
I use titanium.
A true professional.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Bushel. And I think that's pretty awesome because Bushel has made my life so much easier over the past year or so. What Bushel is, it's a mobile device management platform, which is not nearly as intimidating as it sounds, which is one of the great things about Bushel. So it lets you take your iPhones and your iPads and your Macs and manage the settings for all these devices from a single interface. And you don't need to install extra apps to make this work. It's a web-based interface, and it's real easy to set up, and it's easy to add devices to your plan. And once you've done that, you can keep track of all your email settings for different devices. You can do things like force your devices to use a 6-digit passcode instead of a 4-digit passcode. You can track where your devices are. If they're lost or stolen, you can figure out where they ended up. And you can wipe them remotely if you need to. And you can keep track of what versions of operating system is on each device. It's really cool. And it's a great, easy, inexpensive way for a business to manage all of those iPhones that their sales force has, the iPads that their employees are using, without needing to invest a ton of money into a complicated solution where you need to have a highly paid, well, everyone should be highly paid because, hey, we all work hard. But that's not the point. The point is you don't need to hire a really expensive IT person to manage all these devices. Just use Bushel. Now, I'm using it for all of my stuff and my parents. And this has been a family saver because my parents periodically call. When I say my parents, what I really mean is my dad, because he likes to go in and mess around with things and then not tell me that's what he's really done. But that's not the point either. The point is this is saving my family from therapy because my dad calls and says, I can't check my email. I push his email settings back out to him, and he says, hey, it's working. And the problem is solved. We don't have to have arguments about what really happened. All we need to know is that Dad's email didn't work, and now it does. And it's been a wonderful, beautiful thing. So it's like really inexpensive family therapy. You can do 3 devices for free. And if you have more, it's only $2 per device per month. So it's really inexpensive. You really need to check this out. It's Bushel. So go to their website, bushel.com/TDO. Sign up for your free account. My account has been a family saver. Yours can be too. bushel.com/TDO. And thank you, Bushel, for being our sponsor. Okay, so what I wanted to talk about today is this report that's come out that says that the money that's being generated by developers in the App Store, it's all going, or the majority of it goes to basically 1% of the developers, and then all the others are left fighting for the scraps, relatively speaking. And I'm curious, what do you guys think about this?
Well, here's the thing, right? What you just described is what we hear people complain about with every aspect and perhaps even the meta aspect of life in a capitalist society, right? I mean, there's a lot of talk about the 1%. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about the 1% of the apps. And I think you know, that doesn't surprise me. It shouldn't surprise me. And I also think it's probably accurate, right? I mean, there's a lot of times where people complain about the 1%, and it's a nice, you know, soundbite style term. But I think here it probably applies. It makes sense, you know, and I don't think it's killing innovation, right? In fact, I think it creates innovation. It's how we got the App Store in the first place, right? I mean, the App Store did not exist 10 years ago, okay?
True.
And then suddenly, you know, Apple created the App Store. Now, but they didn't create it because it was their idea. They created it because people wanted it so bad that they innovated a way of having an App Store outside of Apple's, you know, sandboxed, jailed up iPhone concept. I mean, they actually, people bothered to figure out how to crack open an iPhone. This whole concept of jailbreaking, it isn't a bad thing, right? It was just people that wanted to program.
Yes, it is a bad thing.
Well, but it didn't start that way. It started as people that wanted to put their, that had their own ideas about what this device could do.
Right.
And they wanted to put their own things on it. Now, obviously,
that was the good thing.
Yeah, no, but mm-hmm. That's really where it started. You know, it was just, I want my own thing on here. Let's even say that the first thing that someone wanted to put on was something terrible and nefarious. It doesn't matter. It's, I want to put my own thing on here so badly that I've figured out how to shove my own thing onto this device that really is built to refuse it, you know. And so that happened. And because that happened, and because so many people started to you know, build their own apps for this, Apple said, "I think we created something else. Let's embrace this before we lose control of it." Right. So the App Store was created, and it even though there were some people that had built apps for this, you know, jailbroken thing, it basically created a vacuum. Right. On day one that the App Store existed, you know, there were no apps, and then quickly there came apps, and some mm-hmm. of those first apps came from the people that jailbroke or wrote apps after someone else figured out how to jailbreak. Right? They were at that kind of riding the first wave there, and those people, many of them solely because they were first, had some success in the App Store,
and that's pretty much standard.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And I don't think Apple had a mind to particularly inject any restraints that would level the playing field. They just created an open market.
That's
and
it.
And let the market and take care of itself.
That's exactly what happened. That's right. Yeah. So, yeah, we finally, this vacuum very quickly filled up because people were making money. And so that attracts more people, and there's less risk when you see other people over there making money. You're like, oh, I can do that same thing. I'll just be a follower. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you have they had a better opportunity than you did because they took a risk that you didn't take, you know. And so then this thing filled up, and now it's all about, hopefully it's about quality of the apps, but we know that that's not the entire picture. It's about how well you market your app, and that includes who your friends are and who you know and who doesn't like you and all of that mm-hmm. stuff. And but I mean, it's just like normal life in our world. And so, yes, I live near a military airport where there's big, big planes that go over my house. So if you're hearing that's what it is. But that's what happened, and it's normal. And now there's this, you know, article/complaint that says, hey, we, you know, now we're stuck. We don't have, you know, this is ruined, and it's stifling innovation. And to that I say, no. It's creating the opportunity for the next wave of innovation.
It's an attempt to inject social values and overlay them on top of the store.
Right. Right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, but it's you know, I don't think people, some of them aren't intentionally being, you know, underhanded about this, but it's like, come on, folks, this is how innovation happens. I don't see a problem with it.
All right, John, what do you think?
I don't see a problem with it either. I think there is an implied emotional reaction to the situation and wanting Apple to somehow step in and say, we're going to level the playing field, or we're going to take proactive action to make sure everybody benefits equally. But that's not what Apple needs to be doing. I think it's just sort of pie in the sky sort of thing. As you guys said before, aggressive developers who do things right and have great products will make money. The bigger companies that have more resources to bear and more marketing muscle, they'll make more money. Apple shouldn't be trying to manipulate the situation. As long as a lot of people are making a lot of money and Apple's taking their 30% and people are buying apps, let it be.
You know, I just took a look at the first screen on my homepage on my iPhone, and that's the one screen where I don't put anything in folders because these are all the apps I use most often. And looking at my home screen, I think that totally backs up exactly what both of you are saying, because I have a mix of apps that that come from little guys and big guys, and they all have a place here. And the reason they're here is because they're the apps that were innovative and did exactly what I need.
Well, that brings up the issue of the searchability of the store. I don't know if you've discussed that before on the show, Jeff, but one of the things Apple can do that doesn't involve trying to place artificial constraints on the store is to help people find just the right app that they need. There are lots of particular needs out there that people want, and it's kind of tough sometimes finding just the right app. And then when you do find a list of apps, then you sort of wonder about which one is the most secure or which one is the best for your purposes. So it's kind of a tricky business there, but to the extent that Apple can help people find exactly what they want, the store will also be more successful for people who need those apps. And then the corresponding developer creates his own marketplace.
Yeah, and searchability is an ongoing issue. I know Apple is working on improving searchability. We see little incremental changes along the way, but that's a problem that's bigger than just the App Store.
Well, that's right. We have a searchability or discovery problem, like worldwide now, because of the internet. Right? We have access to all of the information all of the time. And so the question is, how do you, you know, now that you're the natural curators that existed, right? It used to be you could only buy what existed at, you know, your local store. And that included your news, right? Your news mm-hmm. came from your local news store, which was your, you know, either your newspaper or your, you know, your TV network or whatever. But that was it. If you, that was basically it. If you really wanted to get news from somewhere else, you could like jump through hoops and get a satellite dish and all that. But pretty much there was this default curation, and that those defaults eroded and are gone. And so you have to first now choose your curator if you want one at all, or be your own curator of everything. And it's just a change. It's an obvious byproduct of you know, having something like the internet in existence. Mm-hmm. So we just got to deal with it, and we're figuring it out, but it's all still new. I mean, really new. None of this stuff is 100 years old.
No, not even close.
Or 50, really. I mean, it's barely 20 years old, right? I mean, if we rewind, the technology and the infrastructure had been, you know, invented and existed, but in terms of it being truly a part of our culture, 20 years is not, that's like, it's close. Right. Somebody might argue, oh, it's 23. Okay.
Whatever.
It ain't 30.
Right.
Yep. Guarantee you that.
Yeah, but when you talk like that, the first thing that springs to Martellaro's mind is the future. And I have this feeling that the App Store isn't going to continue forever. Something will replace it.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. And all right. So on the searchability part, it occurred to me my searchability platform for finding new apps and, well, just cool new things in general, it's a three-pronged system, and it's called Messages, Slack, and Telegram. And I find most of the really cool things that I discover because someone sends me a message on one of those platforms and says, have you seen this yet? Mm-hmm. And that's far more effective for me than just searching through apps on the App Store. So
makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's the social thing, the word of mouth thing, yep. which has always been a very powerful marketing tool.
I was just going to say that certainly hasn't changed.
No, that's more than 20 years right there. That's generations.
I think it goes back to sort of the history of humanity. I mean, word of mouth is all, you know, is what we have. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, along those lines, I probably get 20 or 30 emails a day from developers who pleading with me to review their app. And that is kind of a problem because there isn't enough bandwidth in the universe to get that message out there and to help the reviewers get their app in the public mind and review an app. I know when I'm interested in a particular app and I have some questions about it, I'll go look for a review. And often I find a review, say a weather app or something like that. I'll find a review and it takes it through its paces and gives me the ups and downs. And I'll say, oh yeah, that's an app I want to use. But that's a privileged position and that's hard to find. And there aren't enough reviewers in the universe to do that for all the developers that are out there. So
true. And there's a lot of developers that need some help with their marketing and visibility strategies. I mean, there's a lot of people that make really great apps, but they just don't have the skill set to effectively get their apps in front of the right eyes.
Yeah, they'll spend a lot of time writing the app, and they'll exercise a great amount of expertise in Objective-C or Swift. Then after they have this glorious app, then they have no idea about how to promote it or how to get it out there. And without professional help, that's hard to do.
Yeah, it is. And so, of course, that plays into the 1% that we were talking about when we jumped into this conversation.
Right. And are there very many articles out there? I don't remember any offhand that talk about this process. Sort of like, so you want to be an app developer. Here's the ins and outs.
Well, now that's something to think about. That's actually a topic that, at least as far as the marketing side comes in, that I've been part of in various events in the past, different conferences. I've been on panels where we've talked about what developers can do to better market their products to bloggers and podcasters and journalists and just the media in general. And every time I've been on one of those panels, the room is packed. Mm-hmm. And there's no one that's just sitting in the room texting with friends. They're all riveted on the conversation. So that tells me there's a lot of people out there that really get that there's a lot that they need to know to better compete in this space and become part of that 1%.
Right on.
Yeah.
What a cool time we live in.
I know. It is cool. It's exciting and cool. I love that I'm getting messages from people like every day. Check out this cool new thing. And they always are cool new things.
Yep.
I just love it.
Yep.
Hey, we're out of time. So we need to wrap up. John, thank you so much for being here today.
You're very welcome.
Always great to have you. Dave, it's always great to have you here as well. So thank you.
Yeah, I wasn't actually here, but I'm here.
It's always great to think that you're here.
Exactly.
And Bushel, thank you for being our sponsor all week long. Listeners, head over to their website and check them out. Bushel.com, BUSHEL.com/TDO. Sign up for your free account. Start managing your devices the way I am. You'll be happy. Your boss, if you're going to use this at work, is going to be happy. And your family will be happy if you're taking care of their devices too. Bushel.com/TDO. Listeners, thank you for being here again. We'll see you next week.